Good afternoon. My name is Fred Pitsosik. I'm the lab agronomist for Servitech in Dodge City, Kansas, located in southwest Kansas. What I wanted to do today was talk about a case study, a situation we've worked with, a long-term wastewater project, a couple challenges we encountered, and how we solved those, or attempted to solve those challenges at least. Just to describe the system, City of Dodge City is about 27,000 population. Wastewater goes to initially to an old wastewater facility, which is now a transfer station. The NBPI is National Beef Processors Incorporated. It's a packing plant. They slaughter, cut, and ship out boxed beef. Both entities discharge into the wastewater system, about 40% municipal, about 60% for the packing plant. The wastewater is transported about 12 miles south of Dodge City and stored, treated and stored in lagoons. And I'll be talking in English units. That's what I'm most comfortable in. Hopefully the metrics up there will meet those of you that are familiar with that. It's stored, and then the wastewater is used to irrigate center pivot systems. And this is a kind of a unique system because we're about 150, 180 feet to groundwater. But National Beef owns most of the land that is irrigated, and they have also installed wells and are returning water back to the packing plant, and they need a source of potable water. It's got to meet potable water standards. So it's kind of a closed system, and so there's some vested interest here. There's actually four partners in this. National Beef discharges into the city wastewater system. The city owns the system. CH2M Hill manages the system, and finally Nicholson Farms are the operators of the farm. A little bit more about the system. There are four large storage lagoons. They're connected to a number of center pivots. There's 28 of them, about 3,000 acres, primarily used to grow corn for grain and some for silage. Nicholson's have a small feedlot. We also grow alfalfa hay, and that's exported, that's sold off farm. Occasionally there'll be some sorghum, soybeans, or wheat in the rotation. Soils are primarily very dominant soils in the area. Silt loam soils are deep, lust-derived soils, fairly level, 1 to 2% slopes. And they are lust-derived, we know they're lust about 50 feet, so they're very deep soils. One of the challenges we face, and this is a long-term project, it was initiated in, the system was built in 1985 and actually started operation about 1986. But over time, the wastewater quality has changed substantially. We can see the top, if you can see the dots, is the TKN values from the wastewater. We see some changes seasonally through the year, variable raises, and it's gotten very, very erratic and depending on the treatment process. Another measurement we make is the sodium absorption ratio. You can see that's flat at a certain point, but it's changed and has become erratic. So that's a challenge over time, trying to deal with the changes in the wastewater quality. One of the things that the city voluntarily established was a monitoring system, and we became involved in that. We helped them set it up. Now, the center pivots are roughly average about 120 acres in size, and what we've done is we've established some small monitoring sites, or just mini plots or grids, whatever you want to call them, within the field to try to represent the major soil types within that field. What we do is we then collect soil samples in a transect across that small grid, and we return to those grids. Those are permanent grids. We sample them every year, twice a year, before planting and after harvest. We sample them to, everyone is sampled at least 5 feet. Some are sampled to 10 feet, and we have a certain number of them we sample even deeper, to 30 or 50 feet. We sample them incrementally. The top 10 feet are sampled in 1-foot increments, and deeper than that in 2-foot increments. So it allows us to do some things and take a look at some profiles and some changes. This is something we see. This happens to be a 30-foot profile of nitrate distributions in this system. You'll see there's some enriched or whatever you call it, accumulations or pulses of nitrate. And one of the things we see is those pulses, and these are 4 years in sequence, they seem to travel downward over time. They move roughly 3 to 5 feet a year. So at some point in time, we want to maintain our system so that we don't move the nitrates down into that underlying aquifer and retain its characteristics as a potable water source. And this is just one of a number. This is something I see very commonly across the years as we look at these things. One of the challenges is we're drowning in data. We have 54 of these microsites. We sample them to at least 6 different increments or more. They're sampled twice a year, and we've been at this for 24 years. So you can imagine just how much data we've got. And the challenge is we've got to boil that data and meet the distill it down so we can meet that thirst for knowledge that we have, because we've got two different problems that we are looking at addressing. One is the issue of sodium. There's a fair amount of sodium used in the packing process, and that's a concern with soil quality, with infiltration and runoff concerns. We want to maintain the productivity of that soil. The other is the nitrate from the organic nitrogen and its potential impacts on the water quality. Like I said, we collect all this data, all this information, and when I'm working, we meet once a year in a planning meeting. I meet with the city engineer, I meet with the wastewater plant manager, and with the farmer. And in about an hour, we've got to take all that data and all that information and boil it down into something useful to make decisions. And I use the stoplight analogy. They don't care about all the fine points of this or that or the other. They're interested in what's going on, but ultimately they've got to make a decision. And is it a yes? Is it a no? Or is it a maybe? And we need to talk about it some more. So that's something that raises a challenge. So one of the first things we did was, what are our priorities? And one of the things we established was some profile zones, because we are doing the sampling, some critical zones. And for sodium, the critical zone is that surface, that top 15 centimeters to 6 inches, because of the potential impact of the sodium on infiltration and runoff. Because some of these soils are fairly steep. There's some drainage areas that run through there, so we can have some significant runoff. The other is that we established 3 critical zones for nitrate. Now, the blue line here illustrates a very typical profile that we've seen over the years under row crops. We see in the top couple of feet here, we see a lot of depletion, apparently because of root uptake. Third, fourth, and fifth foot, we tend to see an accumulation. And then below that, it's a mixed bag. Sometimes there's an accumulation, sometimes it's depleted or whatever. But the reason that's important is we are capturing nitrates with our row crop, with our corn, sorghum, and wheat in this zone. Once it gets in this zone, it's apparently at the lower fringe of the active root zone. Once it gets past there, it's out of reach of our row crops. However, with alfalfa in the rotation, we seem to be able to capture those nitrates. As we look, we can cause nitrate disappearance over a period of to 10 feet, maybe third year, fourth year. And we've observed with a 6 to 7 year rotation, nitrates disappearing to depths of maybe 20 to 30 feet. So the alfalfa is a very important component there. Just examining the data as we started, we just looked at the individual pieces of data. But what these are, box and whiskers plots showing exchangeable sodium and nitrogen as nitrate. And what a box, if you're not familiar with the box and whiskers plot, what it is, it's kind of like looking at a frequency distribution from the top down. The points here are the max and minimum, and then these dots are the medians. So you can see there's a different spread, there's a different data distribution from season to season across years. There's a lot of variability that cycles through when we look at sodium. The reason I chose this dotted line, that's about the amount of nitrogen it takes to grow a corn crop in the area. So in a number of years, we are greatly exceeding the amount of nitrate that can be used to produce corn. So we have to deal with this variability that we have. So one of the things that we incorporated was the use of statistics, and primarily time series analysis. Looked at non-parametric statistics. They do not depend on normality. They're more robust statistics. One of the, as an example, a median and a mean. If you have a normal distribution, a median and a mean are essentially the same. If you have a skewed distribution, they may be quite different. The Kendall test for TRAN is a non-parametric statistic. It's commonly used in water quality. And essentially what you do is you take each point in the data set, subtract from one another, determine the number of positives, negatives, and ties, or zeros, and then you apply, I think it's a Z statistic to it, to determine a trend, whether you have an upward trend, a downward trend, or no trend. SEND slope estimator is another non-parametric statistic. It's a type of linear regression, and what it depends on, the slope of the line, it's used to determine, to quantify a trend. The slope of the line is simply the median. You take each point in the data set and calculate the slope from to every other point, and then we take the median of those slopes, and that's the trend. So because of the extreme variability in the data, these seem to be appropriate statistics. This is a product that we deliver every year to the meeting. This is, we call it a priority scoring, and it lists all the data, and I'll walk through just how we arrive at this priority scoring. We handle each of those 54 microplots separately. We take the data for that microplot based on our soil analysis. And in the case of sodium, we look at the five-year trend using those statistics. We look at the current year's sodium concentration as a percentage. We look at the five-year median. We take those three pieces of data and we assign a rank to them. We rank them from lowest to highest, each of the three separately. And then we take that rank and if there's the same number, we assign a tie. So you might have three fifth ranks or four sixth ranks or whatever. But we assign those ranks and then we multiply it times a weighting. And that weighting value is arbitrary. It's something we decided to try to give a little more weight to the current year's sodium concentration and look at the trends that. But we multiply those and add them together to get an index value for each microplot. Then we weight the microplots based on the field area. Each one of those microplots represents a soil type within the field. In some cases, it's a major soil type. Sometimes it's very minor. So we try to weight it based on the area in the field. We add those together and end up with a field priority index value. And that value, again, it's an index. It has no significance other than the fact that we can use it to rank the fields for, in this case, sodium. Now we use the same process with nitrate. We use the five-year trend in the top 5 feet. We look at the prior year, the amount of nitrate in 2 to 5 feet, and the prior year, 5 to 10 feet, trying to give those and walk through the same process, ranking them, weighting them, priority. Then we use that data to make decisions. Do we need to rotate to alfalfa? The farmer needs 2 years of planning to rotate into alfalfa in order to get the corn varieties and manage manage the herbicide program to avoid carryover. The city allots so much money each year for gypsum application to correct the sodium accumulation. So what we do is we use the farmer uses the data, the priority scoring, to do some planning to rotate into alfalfa, and the city we decide how many acres and which fields should receive gypsum. Now, does it work? I really can't tell you. I don't have a real objective way of telling you that. We're trying to hit a moving target. But I think if we look at how it's constructed, we use some scientific techniques. We use small plots. We're replicated. I guess I'd say replication in space and in time. We're sampling same time each year, same crop condition. We're sampling in the same area of the field. We're using soil chemical analysis for various components. And we're applying some statistics to it to come up with some objective answers. When we arrive at this index value, then we can take it and use it to set some priorities. We can look at the constraints that the farmer has, that the city has, that the wastewater plant has. We also are able to incorporate that into the operational limitations that they have, timing and labor and all those sorts of things. And that allows us to make good management decisions. It improves the data, boils it down, takes it to that stoplight, a yes, no, or maybe, and makes the decision a lot easier for the farmer, for the wastewater plant operator, and for the city to make decisions. In establishing this index, we use the tool for making large-scale decisions with small-scale data. You need to identify the critical factors, three measurements, apply the appropriate statistics, depending on the variability, typically using trends or time series, and apply those weighting factors.
Sorry about that. I think we have to...